join us online as we stream. You can catch any of our services on Facebook, YouTube, or at www.rdci.info. We might not be able to gather in the building, but you can still get to church. Stream on Sundays at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesdays at 12 noon and 7 p.m. And ladies, catch Women's Bible Study on Facebook, Fridays at 12 noon. Thank you for listening to the Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. We'd love to have you at any of our three campuses. In Columbia, join us at 3506 Broad River Road. If you're in Orangeburg, meet us at 990 Willington Drive. In Florence, join us at 1507 West King Avenue. For more information, including service times, visit rdci.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast. Today's message is About Face by Bishop Herbert Bailey. I
want to read a scripture that also during this time, and as we are going through political separation and political division, I never heard such a dichotomy, seen such a dichotomy between left and right, between Republican and Democrat, between liberal and conservative, between mask and no mask. I've never seen such division about things that there needs to be no division about, like never before. So that shows us that it's a spirit of division that's trying to cause us as people to be divided about things that we otherwise would be united for. And so there are a lot of people standing on this scripture that I'm about to read here from 2 Chronicles 7:14 regarding our nation and our land. 2 Chronicles 7 verse 14 says, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." Verse 15 says, "Now mine eyes shall be open and mine ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place." The context of this scripture is after Solomon, that David had raised all the money and the resources for him to build the temple. And now it's approximately 20 years later and the temple is built. And this is at the dedication of the temple. As they dedicated the temple, they started praising God and thanking God. And Solomon made his prayer and declaration unto God. And God responded to his prayer by saying, "If my people who are called by name, if you will humble yourself and pray and seek my face and turn from your wicked way," God promised, I'll hear you. I'll forgive you and I'll heal their land. Then he goes on to say, and if you meet those conditions, then now my eyes will be open. I'll always see. Because you ever gone through something, you feel like, "God, do you see this?" God says, "My eyes will stay open. My ears will be attentive to every prayer that you make in this place." But there's several things in the scripture. One of them that I want to point out is that when God says, "I want my people to turn from their wicked ways," he sets this concept, I would even call it a doctrine or understanding of repentance as a prerequisite for him doing these other things. He says, "I need you to turn from your wicked ways." And what that means is repentance. God wants true repentance. Repentance is turning away from your wicked ways, turning from your wicked ways to God, turning away from what you used to do to what God wants you to do, turning away from the life you used to live to the life God wants you to live. And in light of the social protests after the brutal, inhumane, and public lynching of George Floyd, we've been hearing a lot of apologies. In light of the things that have come to light, a lot of people have been awakened to the institutions of this country and some injustices and systematic racism. And there are people who apologize and don't even need to apologize. People apologize who haven't done anything. And then some people apologize for being silent. And a lot of people are apologizing. But just because you apologize doesn't mean you repented. Because true repentance is not merely saying I'm sorry. True repentance is turning from and turning to. Turning from and turning to. So true repentance means an about face. About face. I was looking around. In my studio audience here. I see one person with camouflage on. But I was trying to see if I had any military folks here. Okay, I don't think I do. We all just civilians up in here. Okay, we all soldiers in the army of the Lord. But I really was, I really got ready to call somebody, one of my military people, to help me demonstrate this. But that's a military command. About face. And if you look behind me here, this is a graphic that basically is showing a military person how you do this. So in the military, you're marching. Halt. About face. You see how he did that? Come on, march. Halt. About face. Thank you, sir. I knew I wasn't going to do it right. There's a specific way that you turn when you're doing an about face. That's what true repentance is. So the subject of this message today is called about face. About face. About face is the act of pivoting to face in the opposite direction from the original, especially in military formation. It's a military command to turn clockwise 180 degrees. Y'all ever hear people not understand degrees? And they say, man, I did a 360. Now, if you do a 360, you back where we started. We don't need you. See, a lot of people, this is so good. They call themselves repentant. They haven't done a 180. They've done a 360. They supposedly turn, but nothing looks different in their life from how it was before they turned. Pastor Chandler and really the impetus for this message that Pastor Chandler and I, if you watch on Wednesday Bible, we were teaching and talking a couple weeks ago, and I was even asking him, and I was asking another one of our ministers because I said maybe I've just been in the church too long, and maybe because I got saved as a kid, and I don't really see today people who look like they live out a life of repentance. Okay. So many people today, they're saved, but nobody knows they're saved but them. And they always have to qualify and say, God knows my heart, or deep down in my heart. Y'all know that time when deep down in the heart don't count. I got some single sisters here and single daughters in this church. And if I come to them and say, listen, I want you to meet somebody. I want to introduce you to a young man. Now, I just want to tell you right now. He ain't much of a looker. Okay? And there's nothing attractive about him whatsoever. And the fact that I would even have to start qualifying that. The fact that I would say, now listen, don't get moved by his external appearance and by how he look and how his car look and how his clothes look. Don't worry about that, because deep down, he's a really nice person. Come on now. You can try to be super spiritual. A lot of them would have no interest. Pastor, I'll pass. Because sometimes deep down is not enough. And we have a lot of Christians who nobody knows we're Christians but us. And I was thinking about the scripture, even in Matthew 5, where Jesus said, let your light so shine that men may see. I was meditating on that men may see. So some people, I don't care what people see. That's not Christian. Jesus said, you need to shine so folks can see. Folks need to see your love. They need to see that you're a Christian. They need to see that you live a 180 degree change about faith lifestyle than before you got born again. So it's a military command to turn clockwise. It's a total, but in Christianity, this means it's a total change of attitude and viewpoint. About face, true repentance is an action. The act of turning your face in the opposite direction. It's the act of a complete change of attitude and opinion. When we truly repent, we do an about face. Right now, this is rhetorical. I want all of us as Christians to say, have I truly repented? Can folks see, and do I even see, that I've done an about face in my life once I said yes to Jesus? We were talking again, Pastor Chandler and I, we were talking about the fact that a lot of people, you know, everyone didn't get saved walking down to an altar in church. And many of you may have gotten born again, even saved during this time of the pandemic when you're streaming with me. And I lead you into the prayer of repentance and making Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, which I'll do again at the end of this sermon today. So everyone didn't walk down the aisle in a church. You could be sitting in your bed right now and get born again. You could be in a prison and get born again. But so many people, because of church and evangelistic calls to church or evangelistic crusades, walked down to the altar, made a confession, and then they walked back to their seat. Unfortunately, that's as far as some people have walked with God. Walk down to the altar, walk back to the seat. But now we got to go on and walk with God. Walk with who? Walk with God. Not just continue to walk the way you used to walk and walk with who you used to walk. Now, because you're born again, you got saved, you're supposed to be walking with God. This will be an about face. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves, seek my face, would pray, seek my face, and turn. Pivot about face. Turn from their wicked ways. God promised, I'll hear from heaven. I'll forgive your sins. I'll heal your land. The implication of the scripture is that God does not respond in the way we want him to respond until we repent. Now, today some people will say this is works-based salvation. No, I ain't talking about being saved. But if we want to have the blessing of God in our life, there needs to be true repentance. He says, if you then, you got to humble yourselves. Turn, pray, seek me. He said, now watch what I'll do in your life. Now my eyes will be open. My ears will be attentive to your prayer that's made in this place. Now, repentance, as we see here in 2 Chronicles, was throughout the scripture. When God gave Cain an opportunity to repent. Before he killed his brother Abel, he had a bad attitude. He had an attitude that God received Abel's gift, but didn't receive his. And God says, what you upset about? What you got this attitude about? Why has your countenance fallen? He said, if you do what was right, I'll receive you. That's before the law. He said, well, I was under the law. No, that was before the law. That was how things were intended to be. Before Moses went to Mount Sinai, before there was a finger of God writing on tablets of stone, God told Cain, if you do what's right, you'll be accepted. And so his attitude was wrong. He says, don't get mad at him. Get mad at yourself. He said, just go ahead and repent. And instead of repent, he let that thing get deeper in him. And then he went and killed his brother. God was giving him an opportunity to repent. So God preached repentance to Cain. We all know about John the Baptist. John the Baptist was the precursor to Jesus Christ, the one who ran before telling people to repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. There's coming someone after me whose shoelaces I'm not even worthy to stoop down and untie. Repent. But Jesus also preached repentance. Look at Mark 2:17. Mark 2:17, it says, when Jesus heard it, he said to them, they say, look at him hanging around with these sinners, the publicans and these folks who rip people off and these people of ill repute. And Jesus said, when he heard it, he said to them, they that are whole, those who have it all together, have no need for a physician or a doctor. Those who are not sick don't need a doctor, but they that are sick. And here he goes. I came not to call the righteous, but the sinners to repentance. He said, I came to get folks who are headed in a wrong direction, headed in the right direction. Yes, he did. I came to get those who've made a partial turn, a 45 degree, a 90 degree, 120 degree. To make 180. See, some this is so good. Because some of us are still in the process of turning. We just, we like the sundial. We're going to get there eventually. Come on. But some of us, we need to make up our hearts to get there right now. Because repentance starts with the heart. Paul, so Jesus preached repentance. I came not to call the righteous, but the sinners to repentance. Paul preached repentance. The gospel, the apostle of grace. He preached repentance. Acts 20, verse 20 and 21. He's going to leave these people who he had been working with for the last 3 years. And as he's getting ready to move on to another place to expand his ministry, he says, reminds them, he says, I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you. Oh, man, every pastor, by the time we go home and be with the Lord, we need to be able to say, every preacher of the gospel, especially every pastor, need to say, I held back nothing that was profitable to you. I didn't just preach because you have itching ears. I didn't just preach things that's going to manipulate you. Just what I preached what I knew was going to help you and be profitable to you, even if it was unpopular, like a message like I'm preaching today. I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but I have showed you and I have taught you publicly and from house to house. I did it publicly and I've done it privately. I've done it in groups and I've done it one-on-one. I've discipled you. I've taught you publicly and from house to house. Testifying both to the Jews and to the Greeks. To everybody. Testifying what? Repentance towards God. And faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I told you that you need to repent and turn to God. When you have to get to be saved. Repentance, this whole concept of a turning away, of a pivoting from a life, from an attitude, from habits, from ways of thinking that we had before we got born again to how we're supposed to be after we get born again, after we got saved. Repentance, this is considered a foundational teaching of the church. And yet we don't hear about it today. And we don't hear about people telling people to repent. People tell people come to church, you know, get your life right, you know, reform, change this, change that. And so we got a lot of people, we've done everything but repent. We changed our dress. We got better cars. We've moved neighborhoods. We've got more degrees. And still so many people still have never really repented. Paul preached repentance. Repentance is considered foundational teaching of the church. Hebrews 6 and 1. Many people attribute it to Paul. Some theologians say it could have been Apollos. But the author of Hebrews 6 and 1, it says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let's go on to perfection. He said, by now, we ought to be growing beyond this. And those principles of the doctrine regarding foundational things, he goes on to say, Not again laying the foundation of repentance from dead works and faith towards God. He said, come on, this is a foundational thing of the church. We ought to have this settled by now. Why are you still struggling with that same thing? Why are you still living that same lifestyle without having repented from it? Because when you repent, when you turn your heart, God now hears and God helps. Once you repent from something, God now hears and he helps you to walk it out. But he can't help you walk it out if you never really repented of it. You know, I've heard people say things like this. Well, you know, I ain't going to say if I wasn't in the same position again, I wouldn't do the same thing. Well, you haven't repented. See, if you say, I'll do the same thing. No, you have not repented. Because repentance says, God, I'm not doing that again. So help me, God. Yes, I made a mistake. I fell. I was weak, whatever. But God, I'm repenting of that thing. I'm going to talk about David in a moment, but let me just give you this. When David repented, we never see David went back, did the same thing again. Now, he chose a different sin. But when he repented, that was done. And then when he repented, he now starts setting parameters around himself so he can walk out what he made up his mind to do. You know, one of the reasons why they put, what's officially called, a horse, they put blinders over his eyes to keep him focused. Okay? So he won't get distracted by the other horses or by something that he sees that'll keep his eyes off of his race. And you're going to have to make up your mind. Once you repented, you have to put certain blinders on you. Now, nobody else is going to do it for you. You have to do it yourself. I'm jumping ahead of myself again. But David commits adultery with Bathsheba. I'll talk more about that in a moment. But he repents of it. And when he repents of it, then later on, he says, I made a covenant with my eyes. Why then should I look at a maiden? Now, that's what got him in trouble the first time, looking at a woman. He said, No. Now I've made a covenant because I repented of that. Eyes straight ahead. I think I did a teaching call that one time. Eyes straight ahead. Looking unto him who's the author and the finisher of our faith. So the church, if God told Cain he needed to repent, if John told the people of Israel they need to repent, if Jesus said he called the righteous, that the sick don't need a physician, but he's calling sinners to repentance. If Paul preached repentance, if the writer of Hebrews preached repentance, it sounds like we should still be preaching repentance today. So repentance should be a foundational teaching of the church. So the church of 2020 should still be preaching repentance. Not everything's all right. No, we need to repent. Luke 24, 46 to 47. Look what it said here. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. So Jesus Christ suffered, he died, and he rose. Now we have to connect verse 47 with it. And that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. He said, Jesus died and he rose again. And now we got to keep teaching and preaching repentance and remission of sins among all nations, among all ethnos, all nationalities, all hemispheres, all countries, all continents, preaching repentance, starting first where they got filled with the Holy Ghost. My question is, I know you say you're saved, but have you repented? I believe the reason why we see so many people still stumbling over the same lifestyle is they haven't repented. Now, I'm preaching bolder now than I was. I've heard in the years, and I had people in our church come, and I started asking the Lord about this. I've had people come say to my church, yeah, Pastor, you know, I got saved, but I smoked reefer for about 5 years before I stopped. I mean, some people, one person said to me, I still smoke. I got saved, but I'm still smoking. I smoke weed every day. Every day? Not like every other day. Then maybe every 2 days. Then maybe every 3 days. Then maybe every 4 days. Then maybe every 5 days. I understand there's a struggle. Well, once a month you fall back. Once a quarter. But if it's still every day, I want to give this to you. If it's still every day without struggle, perhaps you've never repented. Because the deliverance is going to start when you repent. You won't be delivered from anything if you don't repent of it. And a lot of people, they say, well, God, take it away. Just take it away. Take it away. God said, repent of it. You turn your heart from it first. You say it's wrong. You say, I don't want to do this anymore. Rather make an excuse. Well, you know, stuff is in my flesh. Stuff only going to be in your flesh. But we, through Christ, we can crucify the deeds in our flesh. Sin shall not have dominion over you.
True repentance means that we do an about face. We change the way we are going. It's a complete change of attitude and action. True repentance is not merely good behavior in the presence of others. It's a heart turned toward God. In this series, Bishop Herbert Bailey shows us how to truly repent and live the life that God desires for us to live. To order this series, call 877-798-5433 or order online at www.rightdirection.info. Just ask for About Face. If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations. In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereports@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.